Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Hello, this is Fight the Future. I'm Jordan, the drummer.
I'm Kelly, I'm singer.
This is Adrian, I play guitar.
I'm Duke, I play bass.
I think we've described ourselves as like a mix of maybe old New York hardcore with like old Bay Area punk kind of combined.
Yeah, some youth crew stuff, hard, fast, classic style hardcore.
I think it's a bit of more of a melodic take on traditional hardcore. I hear a lot of Gorilla Biscuits influence in what we do. Boy Sets Fire and who else would you say? I feel like bands like Bold and Outspoken and those kind of late 80s, early 90s hardcore bands that, you know, are around our age are kind of where our influences are and kind of reflect in the way that we sound.
I think hardcore is traditionally like pretty political, and I think all of us have pretty big passions in, you know, different things, whether it's like politics or just, you know, whatever's going on in the world. And I think for me at least that's what's important, is like being able to play a kind of music that we can say something and it's not just like empty.
Definitely a medium for a message. And the message should be very clear and very, very precise as to where it's going. I think part of what attracts us to hardcore music is the communal aspect of it. It's very much about, it's more than just the music itself. It's the people, the scene, the community around it. And we want to be able to inform our music with some of the messaging that we have in our lyrics, but we also wanted to make it accessible and fun and something that somebody wants to not only listen to on their drive into work, but also like want to, you know, dance or move to, but also like get them motivated about important things and think about social issues, political issues that may or may not affect them directly, but are important to think about and communicate in a way that so that we understand that we live in a much larger world than what's just, you know, in our immediate vicinity.
Yeah, I think it just like happened. I think we just started writing and it didn't. There was like no, like Jordan said, there was no like thesis. There's no plan. So it just was kind of like natural.
It started sort of as like a side project for, I know at least like Adrian and I, we just, because we were friends before, and we were just always saying for years we should jam, mm-hmm. and we finally did, and Adrian's like, well, I know this person, Kelly, mm-hmm. might be interested, and the ball got rolling there.
Duke writes the bulk of our music, which would explain a lot of the bass riffing that you'll hear.
Yeah, I came in and took over, and I became the dad.
Five new songs coming out soon on a yet to be titled EP release. We haven't got a release date, do we?
No, I think we're gonna probably put a few songs out here pretty soon and then do, I don't know, we don't have a plan.
We have concepts of a plan.
We do. That's probably the problem, too many ideas. It will be very soon though.
Oh, it's been written. Two years ago, I'd say. We've been playing a lot of these songs live for, well, some two or three of them for like almost 2 years now. So
yeah,
it's been ready. We were just scheduling, getting a date on the book, just trying to get in to record when we can, you know.
Yeah, we went to Archive Recording with Wes, incredible sound engineer and really easy to work with. We recorded our last EP with him. And I think that once we have mixing done with this new release, we'll have something to put out. Probably one or two?
Yeah, I get it.
It's actually done.
It's actually done.
Yeah, mastered.
Oh, it's not mastered.
Yeah, mastered. It's
right.
Surprise.
Wow.
Well, I think we didn't write it as an album necessarily. It's like a bunch of songs that kind of were just the newest ones that we recorded. But like they're kind of all over the place. Like there's like a pretty angry political song that's just about like how hopeless everything feels and how really the power needs to be returned to like to us because politicians and they're not cutting it, you know. So I think we all, except for Jordan, fortunately have like lost parents, so it's kind of something that we've gone through. And another one of the songs is just about body image and, you know, the expectations they put on specifically women's bodies. But I don't know, just, and then I think the other song is a straight edge type song.
I insisted we do a straight edge song, so
it's mandatory.
That was my doing.
It has a Star Wars crossover though, so
it does.
It's yeah. I mean, yeah. But also, I think that a lot of people may not like. I mean, like not everybody likes having politics in music. Some people get annoyed by it. Some people don't want to be inconvenienced by troubles that aren't theirs, or you know, like they just want to go have fun and dance, which is like, you know, if that's what you need, that's what you need, that's your release. But like, I think that it makes our band less attractive to some people. We've found our people though, so that's what's like,
I think it's a responsibility of the artist, especially in moments and periods like we're in now, to speak out against these things, because it's historically evident that when artists, poets, writers, journalists, filmmakers, when they don't they tend to bolster or in de facto support the systems of oppression that are causing the pain and suffering that's being experienced by the oppressed and marginalized people who are being affected by it. For example, if you're not speaking out against the genocide in Palestine, in fact, in a way, sort of silencing or being silent on something that is directly impactful to the lives of people who are being murdered, being martyred in ways that are just absolutely abhorrent. By not saying something about it, I mean, it's not so much saying that you're supporting it, but you're not taking a stand on something that important.
Like you're just complicit.
You're being complicit in a way that is, it's a level of complicity that a lot of people may not even consider until well after the fact, you know. And then people are saying, well, I didn't support it then, but I just never said anything. You know, there's also this attitude too, like, well, what's the point of saying something? There's nothing we can do about it. Well, if you have that sort of attitude, yeah. You know, we know historically that changes occur, social changes occur because of the power of the people, the collective force of the people that push for those things, not because politicians or people in power have, you know, so graciously given us those things and have been so generous about their wealth of influence and power. It's because we put pressure on them. It's because we posed a threat to them in some sort of way that pushed for those types of changes. And we want to be a part of that, those actors in that historical moment, because it's always easy in hindsight to say, oh, well, I could have said or done this. But now is the time to act. And I think that it's very much in the parlance of the artist, the creators, songwriters, and journalists to bolster those things, to encourage those things, and to make it known. That's how you build a popular movement. That's how you spread the consciousness and awareness around really important issues, like what's happening in Palestine, like what's happening in Africa and other parts of the world. Well, we want to make it accessible too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want it to be so dour and without, you know, poise that people are like, well, like, that's just a bummer, you know. We don't want to bum people out. We want to make it so that it's accessible in the ways that you are part of a larger voice of things that are occurring around the world.
And I think that like Duke's accused me of writing angry songs. And I like to think that they're like less angry and more like hopeful, like I think I have to believe that change can happen, like I have to believe that, or like there's no purpose to fighting. So I try to bring hope to it. So I think that that's like, that's something that can be positive. Like you can be angry, but like you have to believe that things can get better.
Yeah, and hardcore has always been about positivity and channeling your rage and anger in that positive way. And I think that, you know, when it comes to, I mean, we talk about PMA. I don't know if PMA is talked about much in the scenes these days, but
it should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
And it was something that was really huge. You know, when I was introduced to hardcore in the 80s and the 90s, I don't know about other people, but I know that for me. And when it comes to revolutionary times that we're in now, we have to remain positive and hopeful, because we owe it to the people that are, you know, suffering the most to do that and to fight back. I think after COVID, we saw a huge spike in young, newer people showing up. Now I go to shows and like I know like maybe 10 people.
You know people's children.
I know people's children, right.
Which is true.
Which is great, and I love that, and that's shows a generational influence on things, and we certainly absolutely support that. It's an amazing thing to see, and hardcore having this immense resurgence in things, but at the same time, too, it needs to stay informed into as to what the tradition around the scene is, and a lot of that is it's not just about being unified. It's what are we unifying on? What are we, you know, collectively working towards as a social project? PMA means positive mental attitude. It came from Bad Brains. Pinnacle, the top, the tippy-tippy top of hardcore, you know, founders, you know, kings, gods, whatever you want to call them. We love Bad Brains. And if you don't like Bad Brains, you're not a hardcore kid. go listen to Bad Brains today. And it was popularized in the scene, Minor Threat and a few others that came along with it. Definitely later on, Gorilla Biscuit. Well, yeah, Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits and others that would use the same sort of terminology and an attitude about things.
I think there's something really powerful about almost foolish positivity in the face of, like, utter despair. I think is a really powerful tool that can get a lot of people through a lot of tough times and hopefully make some change along the way.
Jordan brings the PMA. I'm less good at it.
I'm bad at it. It takes effort. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's kind of a choice almost every day.
Mm-hmm. So we have an Instagram. It's fight.the.future. And our next show is at Church and State on the 11th of November with our friends from New York, Action Park, and we'll be also playing with Burning Avenues and Still Fighting God. So,
which all of those bands are great, by the way. Go listen to all of them.
Yes, and it is an all-age show. Doors are at 7, and it's only $10.
This is Shift. We're going to play this one because it's near the election, and however this turns out, we're probably gonna want to set the world on fire.
We'll be right back.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Sound Waves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.